All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Come on. Can we give Jesus just a great big hand this morning? Come on, for about 10 seconds. Come on. Yeah, he deserves it. He deserves it. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to see you. And man, we're coming off of a powerful men's night that happened last night right here. And man, God moved in such a great, great way. And really setting the stage for what's to come. And so very excited for, just all that God did in us men. And I just believe God needs his men to arise in the place of strength and courage and leadership like never before. And a lot of times when we hear that word leadership, we talked about this last night to our men, that a lot of times when we hear that word leadership, sometimes we think, well, we got to be on a stage or we got to be directing or doing something, but that's not what leadership means. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less, that God has called you and I to use our leadership or our influence to make an impact, come on our families, on our jobs, and our neighbors, wherever we go. Can you say a good amen today? And so I just know that God is calling us as men higher, and we saw some really harsh statistics last night just as it relates to where the men of our nation are at. And if there's anything that I think we left with last night, it's understanding that, not only do we need God moving in our life as men, but God needs us in that place as well to continue to lead and to not do more, but lead more. And so it was a powerful night. We had a great time out in the parking lot. We had a lot of just fun games and the jousting, man. We had guys just knocking each other out. And so we thought about in February, we think about doing a marriage weekend. We thought about maybe setting that up for the husbands and wives. I'm just kidding, but some of y'all would love it, probably, wouldn't you? But it was great, and had some good just time hanging out. And man, you never know sometimes with men what you get. And the one cool thing is, they stayed until after 9 o'clock last night. It was amazing, and just talking, connecting, and I loved it. I just looked around. I told some of the team. I said, "Man, that made it all for me." And so just seeing guys connect, it was amazing. And so thankful for what God did last night. A couple things coming up that I want you to know about just before we get into the message this morning is we have our new fall service times that are starting on September the 9th. Everybody say September the 9th. All right, so we're a few weeks out, but I want to just give this to you ahead of time. We're going to 3 services in our fall time. We begin to see at Elevate City after summer starts winding down. This has historically always been a really strong growing season for our church. But before we hit into the summer, before everybody started taking vacations, we were packed out in both services in our 9 a.m. and then our 11:15. And so let me tell you why we do this. We do this because we're making more room for you and your friends and your family. And I just want you to know, so that's important to us. And it's important to have some open seats for our first-time guests that come. Amen, everybody? And so we want them to know there's room for them. And so we just realize the importance of that because we're trying to reach this city. And so we just want to be found faithful and making sure we have plenty of space and chairs available for people. And so it's important. And I realize also not everybody likes sitting shoulder to shoulder. I mean, know what I'm talking about. How many know when you go to a movie, you don't like sitting by a bunch of people? You don't know. But it's kind of true. So we're just trying to make room, if that makes sense, and make room available. But it's all for the purpose of just reaching more people. And we're believing, though, around here at Elevate City for an incredible fall. And all Elevate City said a good amen. Yeah, our At the Movies series, man, that's just right around the corner. Over the next, here at the end of the last week of August, there'll be massive mailers that are going out to 43,000 homes right here in our city. And so we're just believing for that to hit all the right mailboxes and those men who need God to move or maybe who have been looking for a church or who have no understanding of what it's about, that we're just praying that this series will catch them and that they will come here. And it's one of the most evangelistic things that we get to do all year, and we always see, man, a lot of people give their Christ during that series, and so we're excited about that. So make sure you mark that down, a couple weeks away from that, but we are excited for that. And then next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday, We have a rally day that's coming up for all of our small groups. We have over 40 groups right now, and that's pretty awesome, because when you think about that, that's over 40 leaders that God is raising up in this church. And I think there's nothing that excites me more than to see new leaders raised up and small groups like just crazy or blossoming all over our city. And we're just believing to add even some more before next week. And so they are available online live right now on the app. You can go look at those. You can go out at the Next Step Center there. I haven't called it center in years. Next Steps area, Lord have mercy, and in the kiosk out there, you can look through that. And but I encourage you, go home, check them out this week. You can begin to sign up, but we'll have a ton of tents out here next Sunday. You'll see it, and you can meet all those different small group leaders. I believe some of the greatest leaders right here at Elevate City are our small group leaders, helping the pastors shepherd people and taking people the next step. Here at Elevate City, man, we're all about helping people just take the next step. We just want to see people take the next step in their journey with God. Amen? And then Sunday night, there's a lot happening. Sunday night also is our team night, 6 o'clock. And, man, I'm so excited for this night, because this is a night where all those who serve on our dream team, man, we just get to have fun, hang out a little bit. And then my good friend Pastor Kyle Brownlee is going to be here. And, man, just sharing a short message to just encourage and empower us. And also on that night, on the dream team night, I'll give you a little bit of vision. So if you're here for that night and you serve, I want to encourage you, get here. Child care is available. So everybody that serves, be here. Make sure you get here next Sunday night. So we're going to getting the message here, and this has been just an incredible series. How many have been enjoying this series called Frequency? Yeah, amen. I think it's been great, and I think it's something where I know that God is really talking to us about. I had a great time last week with this message, and I want to just plug this. Inside your message note, or inside your worship guide, you have your message notes, and if you notice, it's three-hole punched, and so we do that for you because we also make these available, and sometimes people don't know these are available. These are at the hub area. Our team can hand these out. These are free to you, and so you can just put your notes in there, and I think it's just kind of cool to put your notes in there and things that you're writing down, and then, you know, over time you can go back and begin to see what you've learned. And so I just want you to know these are available to you, and they're for free. So just when you head out today, just pick them up. And it's a fun way again just to hang on to the notes that you do have. Amen. All right, let's get into the message here this morning. John chapter 10 and verse 3. This has been our theme verse for this series, and it says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize that stranger's voice. They'll reject that voice that they don't know. One of the things that we've been learning so much in this series is that we have a speaking God. Can you say a good amen? A God who's talking to us, who is alive and well today. That God does not have a speaking problem. Oftentimes, we have a listening problem. And so in this series, my hope and my prayer is that we can help each other understand, man, the importance of listening and turning down the noise in our life. And how many know there's a lot of competing voices in your life, a lot of things that can take you away from God's voice. But the enemy can even try to speak to you. The enemy's voice, and how do I discern? How do I know what's God's voice and what's not God's voice? And I know even for me, there's some Sundays I come in here and the enemy's trying to talk to me. One of the things that I've just really always kind of battled in my life is the feeling of just inferiority. The feelings of not ever feeling smart enough, not feeling like I'm athletic enough or tall enough, or all these different things. And then there's some Sundays that I'm worshiping down here, and then I just hear the whisper of the enemy say, "You ain't got nothing to say. There's nothing that you're going to be able to help anybody with." I mean, and the enemy will just try to poison my thinking even before I get up here, and try to mess with me. And so here's what I understand, that every once in a while as the enemy does that, that's why it's important to know God's voice and whose voice I'm listening to. Amen? And so the first week in this series, just to do a quick review, Pastor Kyle Sadler kicked this series off and talked on the subject of preparing to hear. It's important for us to have an understanding of really just preparing yourself to hear from God and what that looks like. And then last week, we talked about, I believe, one of the most prominent ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us in a lot of different ways, but I believe one of the most prevalent ways that he talks to us is through the whispers of God, that I truly believe that he's talking to us all the time. It's just we're not listening. And so if you missed those two messages, make sure you go back on the app, go listen to those messages. I believe it'll help us. But today, again, I want to help us to know what voice we're listening to. And so we're going to give you some filters today to help us understand whether I'm listening to the voice of God, the voice of the enemy, or if it was the pizza that I had last night. All right? So it's important that we understand God's voice. How many want to just grow in the area of getting to know God's voice a lot better? And so I just believe if we're going to be the people, the men and women that God has called us to be, man, we've got to make sure that we are sure in the area of knowing and recognizing God's voice for our lives. I want to give you just a couple things today that I think just references. Robert Morris wrote a great book some years ago. This is actually where we got the idea of this series from, called Frequency. And so I just encourage you to make sure, if that's something you're wanting to continue to grow in, make sure that you you can pick up that book. Mark Batterson also wrote another great book called Just Whisper, and that's on just hearing more of the voice of God. And so just want to encourage you, you want to, man, dive into this even more, those are a couple great resources that I think would really, really help you. And so here's what I know, that even sometimes the best of people can, and doesn't really matter how long you've been in this journey with God, can miss it from time to time and think that they're hearing God's voice, and really they're not. I'll never forget, and I shared part of this story last week with you, that before I ever met Bethany, there was a girl that I nearly got engaged to and almost married another girl. And here was the thing about that the understanding, and as I was pursuing that relationship, I had voices in my life telling me, this is God. And saying, man, like, yeah, that's the one. Like, if you happy, how many of you ever heard that saying? Well, if you happy, just do it. Yeah, they got it over here. I don't know about the rest of you. Thank you for helping me on this side of the room. You know, if it feels good, do it. Have you ever heard that saying? All right? Not just this side of the room. How about everybody else? Come on, this is my side this morning, I guess. I'm gonna preach to this side for a minute. Come on, somebody. And so here's what I know, that we've got to understand and make sure we are hearing the voice of God. Because sometimes people may have great intention, but man, they may not know a lick about your situation in your life. That's why you need people up in your life that, again, just aren't impressed by you. People that aren't going to tell you what you want to hear, but will tell you what you need to hear. Those are friends. Those are friends that you want to keep close. And so I'm encouraging us today to make sure we recognize that. And so when I had those voices telling me, I had one friend, I said this last week, one friend that like knew me, prayed for me, talked to me a lot, and said, bro, she ain't it. I mean, she just ain't it. You got to find somebody else, and you're going to have to kick her to the curb, you know. He said something like, man, you need to drop that zero and get you a hero, bro, you know. And so I said, oh, all right. So anyways, and so I just realized, though, a lot of people had great intention, but they didn't know my season. They didn't know where I was at. And ultimately, man, what they thought was good for me was not. And here's the thing, not mad at them, wasn't angry with them, but not everybody gets it sometimes. And this is what I want to talk to you about in hearing and recognizing the voice of God. 1 John 4 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. I'll never forget, there was a brother a while back, some years ago, who came up to me, true story, came up to me, and he made a statement that blew me away. And he said, Pastor, he said, you know, my wife and I have been struggling for quite some time. And he said, but there's another woman that I believe that God has me for. I said, say that again? He said, yeah, my wife and I have been struggling, and I feel like I'm supposed to end this marriage, and I'm supposed to pursue her. I said, brother, you are listening to the wrong spirit, because it ain't the Holy Spirit. It's some other spirit talking to you. And so we need to have a little bit more of an in-depth conversation. Come on. And so that's why Scripture talks about you've got to test the spirit. Proverbs 14 says it this way, there is a way that appears to be right. It may seem good, it may look good, but it may not be the right way. Because some people just have this belief, well, God just wants me happy. No, here's what God really wants. He wants you holy. And he wants you joyful and happy. He wants you to experience those things, but what he wants for you is holiness. But in the end, look at this, there's a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. So I want to give you four ways this morning to test whether the impression or the prompting that you're feeling, that you're sensing, or that you're hearing is really God or not. Number one is this, if you're following along in our notes, jot this down. Does it line up with the Bible? Again, we're going to give you some filters to help you know, man, am I hearing from God or not? Does it line up with the Bible? Because here's the thing about God. God's voice will never contradict his word. I'm going to say it again. God's voice will never, ever contradict his word. He won't say one thing in the Bible and then speak something else. Okay? He doesn't change his mind. Are you with me? Matthew 19 says, some Pharisees came to him, and the Pharisees are religious people that really claim to know God, came to Jesus to test him. And they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And then Jesus, it's interesting, like go read this. I just don't have the time this morning, but go read the rest of this because Jesus doesn't even answer that question. All he responds back with is just this, haven't you read? Like, haven't you read in the Word? Like haven't you read? Like, this has already been covered. This has already been covered. What are you waiting for? So he says, haven't you read? And so, a lot of times people will ask me for my opinion on things, on issues and different, hot button, items and stuff in the world today. And my response is very simple, because what makes you think that my opinion is really that important? Because at the end of the day, whatever God said is what God said. And so it is written. And that's all I do is I just take, people back to the Word, back to Scripture. And so what makes him God is he gets to say what's right and he gets to say what's wrong. That's what makes him God. Are you with me? And so I am following God, not just my feelings on something. Too many times that we just try to drive in this life, journey in this life, just following our feelings and our emotions, and that's what'll get us in a place of just jacked up, man. And so we've got to understand that God is a speaking God and his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he has established his word and he is who he says he is. And it frustrates me because divorce gets picked on by the church sometimes as some kind of pet sin. And God, let me say this very clearly. My parents divorced when I was a young boy. But God does not hate divorced people. I'm going to say it again. He does not hate divorced people. He hates divorce. Listen, God hates anything that hurts us. And he loves you. And guess what, though? He can redeem anything that you have ever been through, though. I'm going to say it again. He can redeem anything that you and I have ever been through. Can you say a better amen today? And I'm thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for the God of the second chance? Amen? Luke 21:33 says, and though all heaven and earth shall pass away, yet my words remain forever true. I don't care what culture says. There's a lot of people say, well, the Bible's just outdated. No, it's not. That's why it's still the bestseller in all the world today, because God's word is alive, living, moving, healing, breathing, speaking, full of wisdom. I could go on. But God's words remain forever true. And sometimes people will take the Bible out of context to make it say what they want. And people can kind of do that with almost anything. When I was in Bible school in theology, we called that the whole counsel of God. In other words, that I am bringing everything, not just some things, but everything God has said on this, whatever particular issue or matter, together. The whole counsel of God, not just pieces that I want. I heard a, don't get offended by this, but I heard a story here recently of a pastor. He said, did you know, again, don't get offended by this, hear me out. He said, did you know that, man, women won't be in heaven? I said, what? He said, yeah, if you read in Revelation chapter 8, there's 30 minutes of silence that take place. Bad pastor. Women, you're going to be in heaven. I'm just teasing, messing with you this morning. Just making sure you're awake. Woo! Point number two, I better move on. Some people got that a little bit later, I noticed, too. It's like, okay. You were mad at me for a minute. Like, man, what's he talking about? Like, what's he talking about? We ain't going to heaven, you know? Like, no, just chill out. I don't need no emails on that, all right? No. Number two, here's the other thing to know if that impression of what you're hearing from God is true. Is it, and here it is, will it make me more like Christ? The thing that I'm feeling, is it going to make me more like Jesus or less like him? And can I just tell you that that is our goal for salvation? And let me say it this way, though. Don't make it your goal before salvation. Meaning this, you have to meet Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus before you have the power to become like Jesus. Oh, that's good. That's good preaching. And so, in other words, religion will try to tell you that you have to get your act together before you serve Christ. But here's the truth. You don't have to get your act together to become a Christian. You have to become a Christian to get your act together. And so, here's what I know. Salvation is free, and I'm so glad it is. It's not anything that you and I have to earn. We don't have to do anything for it, but just receive the free gift of salvation that he made available over 2,000 years ago on that cross because he loved you and me. And I'm thankful for that today. And then what takes place is a really cool theological word called regeneration. Say, man, what's that? I'll help you with it. It's cool. And here's what takes place. That the more, here's what regeneration is, that the more that I know God, the more I become like him. The more time I spend with God, the more I'm going to be like him. Amen? And for some of us, man, maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's thoughts that, man, I'm in this process of God trying to help and grow me and move me forward. Because we're all in this process together. We all don't have it all together. So we're in this process of regeneration that's happening. And even in the place where I may not be where I want to be today, but I'm thankful that I'm not where I used to be, that God has brought me out, brought me through some stuff. Has God brought anybody through some mess, through some junk, that you are thankful that you are not where you used to be, but you're thankful for where you're at today? Come on, if you're thankful, shout, I'm thankful. 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 And so that's our hope. And that happens really at Elevate City in two ways. We talk about it all the time around here with our growth track and helping people discover what it is that God has placed in them. I'm just of the belief, because I hate this statistic, that 87% of Christians in our nation don't know their giftings. Think about that number. 87% of Christians don't know their gifts. In other words, they don't know their why. They don't know their why for getting up in the morning. And it can be a real struggle if you don't know your why and your purpose for living. You will have feelings of giving up. That's why I don't just believe in trying to solve people's problems. I believe we got to help people understand what their purpose is and understand what they're living for. And so that's what's important for, and why we take people through Growth Track. It happens today at 11:15 during the second service, really every week. We do it three Sundays, first three Sundays of the month. And you can jump in at any time. You don't have to go to them in order. Just go when you can, and I encourage you. Then our small groups are really what's seeing life change. We have so many people that don't go to our church yet that are going to small groups. That's a win. I love that. I love that we have over 40 small groups that's available. I love to see that number continue to grow, because it shows me men and women that are recognizing their God-given potential and recognizing I can't just sit on what God has given me to do, because Fort Wayne needs more of Jesus. And because Fort Wayne needs more of Jesus, I'm just called to do my part. And so I'm thankful for a bunch of people that's recognizing I can't sit on the sidelines. I've got to do my part. And I'm thankful for that. And that's where small groups, and that's available to you, as I told earlier. Philippians chapter 2, it says this in verse 5. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. If I have this impression, or if I feel like I'm hearing this, or if I think I should tell this person this or send that email, the question is, does that response make you more like Jesus? All right? 2 Corinthians 10, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Your and I's biggest fight and battle oftentimes is our mind. Stinking thinking. If your mind's a mess, your life's a mess. And so we have to make sure we're taking thoughts captive and renewing our mind. Romans talks about every day. Every day, Romans 12:2, it's so important that we are renewing our mind. Are you with me? James 3 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven
is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Heard of a story recently of just a horrific, heartbreaking story of a pastor whose wife had an affair on him and cheated on him not once, not twice, but three times. And he was at just a devastating place, not sure where to turn, not sure where to go. And he's pastoring a church and not sure what if ministry's going to survive, because he said, man, I just don't think I could survive. And so he reached out to a few friends and saying, man, what should I do? Because his wife ended up coming back to him with sincerity and saying, I do want to change, but I need help. And I know I have issues, and I need to work through those. And so he didn't know what to do and reached out to some of his friends, and they said, man, be done with her. You can't trust her. And he had one friend. He had another friend that he reached out to, one that he really just highly respected. He said, what do you think I should do? And this other friend said this to him. He said, what would Jesus do? And the guy said, man, he said, here's what I know. And I know none of us can imagine. I mean, it's such a hard situation. But that guy says, man, here's what I know. He said, God has given me so many chances that I know that I should probably give her another chance. But all these other friends that I know, and some of them pastors, are telling me just to move on. And then he made this statement that I thought was incredibly profound that I'm going to share with you. And he responded back to his friend, and he said, you know what? I'd rather go to heaven having given people so many chances than having judged so strictly. He said, and then the other guy on the other side of the phone, he said, brother, he said, I think you're doing what Jesus would do. And I'm telling you, it can be hard and it can be difficult, but I promise you, what's going to make us more like Christ as we're hearing and we're in decision making? It's critical that we understand these filters. Are you with me? Number three is this. Does that those impressions or what you're hearing, does godly counsel agree? And if I were you, I would also circle the word agree, because I think it's important. Before I make decisions in my life, I look for agreement. Things pertaining to my family. Bethany and I always check with each other. We're praying first, talking to each other. Even things on the church. I look to our staff and our pastors and oversight before we make decisions, because I don't make them alone. We make them together, and it's critical. It's critical that we get this. Proverbs is so full of wisdom. It's the wisdom book. It's kind of been tabbed that. And I want to share a few verses out of Proverbs this morning, because I think if there's anything that could help us, we need greater wisdom in our life. Some of us today need greater wisdom how to navigate your marriage better. Some of us need greater wisdom how to navigate your finances, how to navigate the situation that's going on at work that needs to maybe change. Are you with me? And so Proverbs 12 says this, verse 15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 19, listen to advice, accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Are you getting this? The advice, the counsel. Proverbs 24:6. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. I'm thankful for right counsel in my life. It is dangerous. Let me tell you. Dangerous to make emotional decisions based on feeling, where you have not had adequate time to pray and to seek godly counsel in your life, because we can get it wrong. And I'm just telling you, it's so important to involve the counsel of heaven and the counsel of men and women that you love and trust in your life, that love Jesus as much as you do. Are you amen? And, you know, I heard of the story. The guy woke up one day. He said, well, I know if it's the will of God today, if I'm supposed to have that Krispy Kreme donut. He said, I'm going to drive to Krispy Kreme today. And if there's a parking spot open in the front, it's the will of God for me today. And so he said, so he drove around once, no parking spot. He drove around twice, still no spot. And then the third time right in front, a spot open. And he said, surely it's the will of God for me to have a Krispy Kreme donut today. Come on, somebody. Come on. And here's what I know. If there's not agreement, because there's sometimes that, man, even on our meetings and my meetings with our pastors, oversight, man, if there's not agreement, was something I just stop. I stop. Because obviously, I may have missed it somewhere, or the timing may not be right. Yeah, there's even decisions that, you know, for our church that, you know, with staff and our pastors, if we don't want to, you know, if it's not time yet, then let's not release it prematurely. Let's continue to navigate. You know, I'm trying to, and one of the big decisions is, you know, our building and where we're at with all that. And until I have some more concrete information, I'm not going to give us the information until we can really know where we're going with it. It's just been a journey that we're on. And so I so want to tell you so much, but I also don't want to rain on our parade either. So I want to make sure we're using wisdom, because it's important to know that we have some solid things going forward. And that's something we've been talking about. We just had a meeting about this week and said, Mitch, it's not time yet. So we're continuing to just do our due diligence and investigate buildings and the building that we've been looking at. So keep praying for that, by the way. I don't know, that wasn't in my message at all, but keep praying for that and praying for God to speak and to give us wisdom and direction for what's next. Because I just know this isn't all that God has. Oh, can I hear better? Amen. This ain't all that God has, church. I hope you're believing and expecting a lot more, because I know that I am. Here's the last thing, number four, is this, and I'm going to give you a couple just practical things as we close, is do I have peace? So when that happens, when I feel like I'm hearing God, hearing a voice, hearing that impression, that prompting, the question is, do I have peace? The thing about God that I love is we don't worship a God. We have the living God on the inside of us. He's living on the inside of us. Think about it. The Spirit of God, when we are saved, is alive and living on the inside of us. The knowing power of God, the same resurrection Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is living in you and me. That's the kind of power that's available. But sometimes here's what happens in this walk with God, is there's a clash. And the clash that can take place is between our will and our spirit and the Holy Spirit. And this is a tough thing for us sometimes, that it's important that I think that we've got to get right, and we have to understand. So how does the Holy Spirit talk? Can I tell you how? Through peace. 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 Something the Bible says that the world cannot give you is peace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace. It's one of the strongest ways that I know, even for us, when we moved to Fort Wayne, that we knew it was time. There was such an amazing peace that came upon us. But something happened before we moved. And what happened was, before that we moved, is an offer came for me to pastor another church. I'll never forget this. And I had a conversation with the pastor that was offering for us to take over the church, and it would have been an amazing opportunity. I mean, it was, you know, things were set. Church had been running for years. Great. And I'll never forget sitting and having this conversation, when in our spirit, and when Bethany and I left that day, we just didn't have peace, because all I kept thinking about as he was talking, and it was just like this when I heard him talk, it was just Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne. And so I'll never forget when I declined. And I said, no, we're going to pursue what God has for us in Fort Wayne, Indiana, because of the peace of God that was upon that decision. And I'm glad we followed that peace of God, in Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. Wouldn't been able to meet all you amazing people. It's awesome to see what God's doing in 6 years of our church. But I'll never forget that peace that met me with that decision. And honestly, it didn't take real long I was in a place that I just knew. And when God speaks something to you, you know it. And nothing can shake you from that. If it's really God's voice, I'm telling you, man, it was always something that's always stuck with me. And I love this verse in Philippians 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's what's important about this part of this verse that we need to understand. Slow down and say, God, what are you trying to speak to me? What is it that you're trying to say to me? And then it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That word understanding in the Greek literally just means human reasoning. Will guard. Everybody say, will guard. Come on, say it again. Will guard. That word guard in the Greek, this is pretty cool. I love this. It means garrison, as an army will surround you or will surround your heart. Man, I love that. So let me reread it. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard. Come on, think of the army of God, the army of His Spirit, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Elevate City, look at me for a minute. Everybody look at me. This is important. Live your life. Live your life in such a way that your life is guarded with peace. There is nothing worse than having confusion, chaos, and everything else going on. For some of us today, what you need is a dose of the power of the Holy Spirit and His peace today. We are freaking out about problems we shouldn't be freaking out about. I said it last week, we need to quit fighting battles that we were never meant to fight. Then there are some battles we are supposed to fight. This is why we've got to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life to help us with the direction and discern. Am I supposed to lean into this? Some things are common sense. Like, you don't have to respond to everything because we kind of create our own drama. Talk to me in here. Come on, I know I'm talking to a bunch of church folk here in here this morning, but people create their own drama. They do that on social media enough. My God, lay off, all right? So, and social media can be really good. I'm not trying to say it's bad, but man, alive, let's guard our hearts, all right? So let me give you a couple last practical things here. I think, man, if we're going to turn the noise down, there's a couple things that we can do to really hear God's voice as we just wrap this up, and that is tune into God every day. I'm telling you, God is speaking way more than we're listening. He is a speaking God. If there's anything I'm trying to encourage us with is help us to understand He's a speaking God. Listen, the goal of your quiet time with God is not just to check off a box for the day. To say, man, I prayed and I read. It's good, and we need to do those things because those are tools that's going to help you to tune into God. But don't make the goal the moment. Make the goal to tune into God's voice for your life. Amen? John 10:4 says, when He gets them all out, He leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with His voice. People who hear God's voice, listen, you want to know, maybe you've heard that. Man, I hear people talk about, man, I'm hearing God's voice. People who hear God's voice are those who spend time with Him because they are familiar with His voice is why they hear Him. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If Bethany called you today and she called you and you picked up the phone and she said three letters, hey, more than likely you'll have no idea it's her. But if she were to call me and just say three letters, hey, I'm going to know who it is. I'm going to say, what's up, babe? What's going on? Because I am familiar with her voice. And I'm only familiar with her voice because I'm in constant communication with her. I mean, is anybody getting this? And so if you're going to get familiar with the voice of God, you've got to be in communication with Him, not just doing all the talking, but doing great at listening too. It's important that we get this. And here's the other things that we got to do is we got to tune in, but then we got to tune out. Tune out things that oppose God. You have to actively shut down the voices that oppose God in your life. And you know those voices because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. We talked about this last week. That kind of Christianese word that sometimes is said, that check in my spirit or that. And really all it is the Holy Spirit saying, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't go there if I were you. Man, I wouldn't say that if I were you. That's part of the working of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be wise, listen to me, about how much secular we are putting in versus how much spiritual things that we are putting in. Because what you are putting in will come out. Now, to the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I heard a student say to me some time ago, he said, I can watch rated R movies, and nudity's not bad in them. It doesn't bother me. And I said, man, that's the problem. It doesn't bother you. I said, that's where we got to talk. That's where I want to help. Let's figure this out together. John chapter 10, it says, they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me today, church? Everybody say, tune in. Everybody say, tune out. Come on, one more time, real loud. Say, tune in. Tune out. So important that we get that. And here's the last one, is that we got to take steps towards what God has spoken. Take steps. I believe it's time for some of us to take steps. don't waste any more time. I was just thinking the other day, I thought, man, 2018, there's not a lot of time left in this year already. It's crazy. Crazy how quick time's going. Taking your next step. And I don't know what your next step is for some of us here. But I'm encouraging you today. Whatever it is, it might be a growth track, it might be small group. But I challenge us today to don't wait. Don't wait anymore. Take the next step. And I just believe through this series, God is talking to us. I believe God is speaking to us. He is a speaking God. And it's time we listen. And it's time that, man, we follow in whatever He's desiring for us to do. There's more for you. There's more for you. And when we talk about, man, the dream team and small groups and growth track, again, it's we're doing okay. But again, I'm just encouraging you that there's a place for you that God has. And again, I just believe this. Say it once, I'll say it again, that, man, we need you, but I think you really need us too. That we can't do this life alone and by ourselves. You know, one of the great things about last night was just watching newer men in our church, man, just connecting, cutting up, having a great time, being guys. I mean, and ladies, by the way, thank you for just allowing for some that are married, your husbands to be there last night. It was amazing. But we need that. We need times to just laugh and cut up and just enjoy the journey together. And I'm just telling us, man, there's more for us. And so God is a speaking God. Let's pray. Bow your head where you're at. God, I just thank you right here in this moment that, Lord, we want to hear from you. And, Lord, I just pray not only through the course of this series, but as we conclude this series this morning, that, God, that we would turn our attention on you, that we would grow in the area of listening, not just doing what we want to do or doing what we think is right, but truly submitting to the Holy Spirit. And for those of us, Lord, even that maybe we've been feeling like we've been hearing God on something, or maybe it's been impressed on our heart with something, Father, that we would take the necessary steps to draw as close as we can to you and to hear your voice. And so, God, I just declare, even today as a church, God, we just need your wisdom. We just need your wisdom. God, give us your wisdom. And Holy Spirit, give us your peace. I pray right now for every person today for the peace of God to just fall on you in this place, over your heart, over your mind right now. And I just feel like God is saying something to somebody right here this morning, saying it's going to work out, but you've got to trust me. I just feel like God's telling some people that right now. Just hear the word of the Lord. It's going to work out. But you've got to trust me, God's saying. So trust him. God, we want to hear you. For those of us that are prayerful about destiny and what's ahead, God, we want to hear you. So desperate to hear your voice. God, give us ears that hear, eyes that see, clarity beyond anything we've ever had in our life. God, I ask you for that today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. So, man, Pastor, what are you doing, man? I'm just letting God speak for a minute. I'm just telling you, God's wanting to speak. Some of us, we need this peace right now. It's been chaotic, a lot going on. We need to hear the voice of God. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We love you, God. Father, I pray as a church today, Lord, in this fall, I pray that, God, that our attention is focused on you. God, as we move from into this next week, into the weeks ahead, God, guide us. And Lord, let not our schedules dictate our time with you, but let our time with you dictate our schedule. That we become more of a seeking people, prayerful people, understanding, God, this is a very spiritual journey that we are in. So God, we thank you for speaking to us this morning, and we love you. Just with every head bowed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, as your friend, I want to give you an opportunity before we leave here today. For some of you, man, you need to make the decision to fully surrender your life. This life will never make sense for you, man, until you take that next step of surrender. Man, and Jesus loves you so much. For somebody else, maybe you've just kind of got cold in your relationship with God. Maybe you're not seeking him as much, praying as much. You just found yourself away from him. But you're realizing, man, it's time to draw close again. And God promised us if we would draw close, that he would draw close back to us. So if you're here in this room on the count of three, if that's you and you say, man, I want to commit my life to Christ or recommit. I need to surrender my life completely over to him today. Come on, forget about who's by. It doesn't matter. When Jesus went to that cross, he went boldly, unashamed, beaten naked. And he did it because he loved you and I. He didn't embrace that cross because he had to, but he embraced it because he wanted to, because he had you and I in mind. All over this place, come on, I believe there's people that need to respond. If that's you, raise your hand on the count of three. Come on, one, two, three. In this place, say, man, that's me, that's me. Real high, real high. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to say this prayer now and just mean it in your heart today. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. And I repent of my sins today. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.